I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? On a beautiful, sunshiny kind of day, with nothing to talk about sports-related in the city of Houston, Texas. It's going to be a boring show with nothing to talk about. God forbid you're flipping the dial today, spinning the channels, and checking out that maybe there was some Tony Romo news that everybody's going to beat to death. But yeah, if you're Phil Sims, you're not happy. But with that being said, Astros opening day, NCAA championship game, news out of the Romo camp that he's retiring to join the broadcast booth. Plenty to talk about. That's why we are here in studio. No more remotes this week. Fantastic as that may be, because of the fact that we can actually get organized and do some things. Barry Laminack to my right. Nick what back up behind the glass. You boys fresh off of opening day. What's we had all on bases covered as I stayed home to watch both the Astros and the national championship game. And you guys got to see one hell of a baseball game.
Yeah, it was good times. I'm not going to lie. I've been here for 4+ years. That was the first time I got to be on the field for opening day. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Got to see the Biggio de Bagwell first pitch offering.
Baggy's been eating a little bit. I mean, he made a good backstop.
I kind of knew that was the first thing Joel was going to notice.
I
but
just
he has
noticed
been getting
it
big.
Because normally he was Mr. Weightlifter.
Yeah.
He looks like he's a little insulated right now.
A little bit.
You know, somebody texted me and said they should have had Biggio throw from second to first.
That would have been cool.
That wouldn't have been a first pitch. That would have been the first out. And that doesn't make any sense at all.
Still cool to see them. I mean, their statues out front are the exact, you know.
Yeah,
exact same thing.
Yeah, I guess. But that was, I mean, that was cool. I got to hang out and meet some new media peeps. I got to meet Kim Davis.
Great lady.
Matt Musil.
Matt's a good dude.
Got to hang with Barry Warner.
Oh boy.
For the evening.
I heard. Nick said he
had a blast. I had the most fun hanging out with Barry.
He I'm said you were a lie. Topic of their show today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he kind of opened up. He opened up his segment with making fun of you and Patrick Creighton. So Patrick Creighton got some hate too. But like all in good fun.
What did he say? I want to know what he said. What did he say?
He said that you were easy to make fun of. He said you had a big bowl of whipped cream on the air. He was attacking you, man.
I was easy to make fun of.
That's what he said.
Yeah, because I let him because he's old. Like, you can't tell old people what to talk about. They're going to talk about whatever they want anyways.
Well, Barry, first thing he says when he sees us, he goes off on a story, you know, obviously, and he goes, well, Barry, you're old enough to be my son. He's like, grandson.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? I'm old enough to be your grandson. Maybe.
Only if you swim in the nude.
Yeah. We're sitting there, and I'm sitting with Nick, Barry, and Dolores. And I haven't eaten in 24 hours. The last time I ate was 6 p.m. the day before.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't want to eat, and I don't know. It was weird. And so I'm starving, and we go to eat in the media room, and they have, like, prime rib and vegetables. And I'm like, no, nah, hell no. It's opening day. So I pay the money, but then I get like hot dogs and nachos. I get a couple hot dogs. I get a small thing of nachos. It wasn't big. I didn't fill it up. Then I get done and I'm like, ooh, they got ice cream. They got that soft serve in the machine. I'm like, yeah, daddy needs some of that. So I got a bowl, like a bowl that I would eat at the house. And they proceed, they're like, oh my God, how much ice cream did you get?
It's overflowing.
Yeah, Dolores is like, it's overflowing out of the bowl. And Barry's like, you're going to eat all of that? And I'm like, guys, like I ate three bites and was like, you have guilted me into not eating this ice cream. I hope you're all happy. I like
Warner, of all people, who does not have a neck anymore and is in his second trimester, quickly approaching his third.
Yeah.
And he's ripping you?
Yeah. Nick, too.
Yeah.
They were all making
Nick,
fun of
Nick, you were
of
busting
me.
Him?
Well, not so much on the food. Not on the ice cream. A little bit, but not too much. Dolores and Barry were, for sure.
Yeah. And then we went out on the field, and we were standing there, and Matt Musil, who I've never met.
A really super great guy.
Super nice guy, and he's standing there, and they're telling us to, like, back up, and Matt starts going, back that ass up. And he's like, and he's dancing. It was great. And then you got to sit next to him, and I got to meet Kim Davis. It was really cool, man. I got to meet a lot of the media folk that I've never met before. I got to hang out a little bit. So, yeah, dude, I had an absolute blast. Nick and I got to sit there, watch a little baseball.
That's good.
Got to sit next to Patrick Creighton and watch him be weird about baseball.
He kept tweeting about the prime rib, too. He was all fired up about the food and everything. Dude, so that leaves yourself, okay. I mean, that leaves yourself like wide open.
What does that tell you? It's Patrick Creighton. Yeah. What do you think he's going to tweet about?
Either that or his volume. Others will be tweeting about
his
volume.
Well, that's what Barry was complaining about on the reality check on 1560.
Yeah.
During the I missed this. Maybe Barry Laminack, maybe you saw it, but apparently during the opening ceremonies, like Patrick Creighton was really loud, and Barry was like, I want to hear the introductions, and I want to hear this. I didn't hear
that. I
didn't see this.
I was down the field with you, so I don't know.
Okay, so we both missed it. That's right. Yeah.
But then, like, so I'm sitting there, and I see Creighton's like a dork when it comes to this, because he's, like, charting Keuchel's pitches by speed. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Palillo. He and Palillo. The New York connection might have something to do with it. Like, we used to get the Root Sports seats right behind home plate, but like kind of right below what used to be the press box. Now it's the Insperity section. So behind the backstop, but you know, in that first section, but kind of towards the top of it. And there would be the last two times I was there, I'd look over my shoulder. Palillo's got the full blown scorebook.
Oh, yeah. Patrick keeps score. Like he keeps a score card. Yeah. And he's like, you know, oh, yeah, look at Keuchel. His fastball's 88 to 90. And I'm like, all that's great, but like. Yo, like, just chill. Like, it's
I mean, there were a few media members that were charting everything like that, but I just don't have the patience for it, honestly.
I mean, I think a lot of people, if you have to go back and recap the game at some point, then you keep score like that.
I'm sure
it
helps.
But if you're just there for the pleasure of taking in a baseball game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. And I was going to ask you guys, because I saw the great videos that you guys got from the first pitch and all that and being down on the field. But did you notice how they screwed up all the numbers? I'm watching the intros. And they said Beltran wore 10, which is Gurriel. Then they said that Brian McCann wore 10, and then 15, and he wears 16. And I rewound it on the DVR going, why is Bob Ford getting everything wrong? Who's giving him this information? He had like three or four of the guys with the wrong number.
I had no idea.
It sounded like he also said Mike Friars when they brought him out on the field. It was like, Mike Friars. I was like, that's not a guy.
Yeah, you and I were talking about it. I thought he said Flyers.
Yeah, we were like, what the hell?
I just don't understand how you don't have – it's on the scoreboard. It's the scorecard. Plus, it's your team. You would know what numbers guys wear. If nothing else, you know 10 is Gurriel, so you're not going to give it to somebody else. But
yeah, that was
– they were hacking the numbers up for the home team. I was a little upset about that.
I didn't notice that. But yeah, dude, it was
what a
cool.
Beautiful night with the roof open.
Yeah, Manny Fresh just tweeted me and said he was on the elevator with us, and he was gonna say hey, but I was trying to figure out where the hell the press box was or the media entrance or whatever. I guess that was at the end when we got lost, when we should have just went straight out and we didn't, and we took the tour again
back up. Yeah. I didn't even.
Yeah,
realize it was in there.
Yeah,
great night for baseball. Great win for the Stros. Keuchel looked fantastic. Loved the roof being open.
Me too.
Man.
Even though it was a little stuffy in the press
box. That's what Nick said.
Like the first four innings, but it got better.
It needs to be open as much as possible.
They've already announced it's going to be open tonight. I think that's the way baseball should be played. I don't think it's going to be. I think when the sun goes down, the temp will drop a little bit. But without the humidity, telling you what, that ballpark is gorgeous with the roof open. You need that kind of natural air in there. But all in all, a great night had by all. We've got plenty to talk about. We can talk about the game itself between the Astros and the Mariners, and of course, game two on deck tonight. We can talk about the national championship game and the travesty that was a poorly played and poorly officiated game that found Carolina winning. And then, of course, the news out of Big D, if it is news.
Spoiler alert, I hadn't watched the game yet.
Okay, well, then you can watch it tomorrow when everybody else tries to keep quiet so that you never find out who won. I blew it. But
ruined it for me.
I can tell you this. It's a greatly it's like execution at its finest. They shot the lights out.
When I got home from the Astros game, turned it on because I had reset my DVR, started watching it, fell asleep. I was like, it was boring.
All you need to know is 40-minute game, 44 fouls. 46 made field goals between the two teams.
Good Lord, I'm glad I missed it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so plenty to talk about there. Let us know what you think. We always like you to be a part of the show, and participation is key. 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-ESPN if you want to text us. Where Barry's normally checking the text, Nick's taking the calls. We're all on Twitter. At Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the usual suspects, all in studio. That's a rarity over the last 2 weeks, but we are here in studio at headquarters and willing to go the full 3 hours just for you guys. We have the Astros to talk about. We have the NCAA championship game to talk about. We have a quarterback situation, I guess we can talk about. But we also want to hear from you. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. Before we went to break, I was trying to fill you guys in on the debacle that was the national championship game. Gave you just a few of the quick stats, but it was awful. But before we go any further on that, since we touched on first your guys' trip to the big juice box and the opener for the Astros, Josh in Pasadena wants to get in on the Astros. What's up, my man?
Hey, thanks for having my call. Yeah, I'm a diehard Astros fan, and it was just so amazing last night to see that we've done it the right way. You know, yeah, we have Beltran and Reddick and stuff, and that's cool, but so many of that last night was like things that we have developed, and for so many years it was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? You know, why are we so bad? And now to see the fruits of our labor paying off, it was just like, man, this is going to be a good year. And I think that we do need to go out and get another starting pitcher, but we're so deep in bats that I'm almost willing to, if they want somebody like an Evan Gattis, Marwin Gonzalez, you know, to package it together with some other guys, then I'm okay with that because I think we're so deep in that, you know, I think we're going to make a run at this. So it's just going to be a great year, and it was an awesome night.
All right. Appreciate the call, Josh.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone's going to want to give you an ace for Evan Gattis and or Marwin Gonzalez. No. They're going to want some prospects out of the farm system. But I do think they'll make a run at some point, especially if they are, if they haven't separated themselves from the pack, and if Keuchel or McCullers doesn't emerge as the ace or as an ace, mm-hmm. somebody they know they can count on in a 7-game series to run out there twice and get them 2 wins. Because last year, let's face it, you didn't feel like you could run anybody out there and get 2 wins right. in a 7-game series. So if they feel like that, then great. But yeah, I could still see them making a run at it.
Josh's point too, package them. If someone is looking for a player, prospects, and I still don't. I mean, unless it's the right player in your system, I'm not sure it's going to qualify as getting an ace. And I was going to ask you guys, what is Keuchel, if he pitches like he did last night, is he that guy? Is he a legit ace, or is he a guy that would be best suited to be like your 2-3 if you were, you know, if you had your ideal situation? Is he an ace for a World Series contending team, or is he more like a 2-3?
Yeah, I think he can be an ace, and I think the reason, I mean, you know, it's oddly enough, I'm making fun of Patrick Creighton, but when we were discussing, you know, his velocity and stuff like that, his fastball was topping out in the low 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, he's pitching 88 to 90 with his fastball, but that's fine because I think Keuchel's never been an overpowering pitcher.
Right.
He needs to be able to spot his pitches, you know, work the zone, move it up and down, left and right. He needs, you know, he's more of a control pitcher and an accuracy pitcher and a ground ball pitcher. And, you know, if he can do that and his velocity is a little lower, I still think he could be an ace. I think he could be an ace. I think Lance McCullers could be an ace. And I think they need one of those to emerge.
Yep.
But, yeah, I do think Keuchel has the stuff. I mean, when you look at the Cy Young thing, you know, a couple years ago, how well he played and how well he pitched, he can do that again.
The key for him is just keeping everything, stay healthy and keep everything from the knees down. I mean, his location after the first inning last night was really spot on. I mean, he did a great job of locating everything where it has to be. He's a ground ball pitcher. He's a contact pitcher. But he gets people guessing the wrong way and gets them. And his location was fantastic as he got deep. First of all, he kept his pitch count down. But his location is so key to keep when he keeps that ball down. He's so hard to hit. Same thing can be said of McCullers, but more so with just that breaking pitch. I mean, McCullers had both of them. Health is number one, and two is just location, location, location. McCullers has to keep his off speed stuff down, and Keuchel's got to keep everything down.
Yeah, I mean, most pitchers need to keep everything down. That's the thing. You don't want to be working
up in
the zone.
If you got a live arm, you can get away with a lot.
Yeah. I mean, up for a strikeout pitch, but most pitchers don't want to be working up in the zone. You can go up there every once in a while and get a big swing. But I, you know, the funny thing was is in the post game interviews, AJ Hinch was asked the same question about Keuchel, and you know, and he said, "Yeah, it's good to see him back and healthy." And Keuchel said he wasn't really worried about trying not to have the same type of year he had last year. He's healthy. He knows what he can do when he's healthy. So I think that really did have a big impact on him. So I think now we're going to see if he's healthy, is he going to be the 2016 Dallas Keuchel or the 2015
right.
Dallas Keuchel?
Right.
Or somewhere in the middle. I suspect it'll be somewhere in the middle, but I'll still take that. You know what I mean? I still think he can be an ace caliber pitcher even without being overpowering. I think it's possible.
Look
at Greg Maddux, dude. Greg Maddux wasn't overpowering.
Was an artist.
By no means am I comparing Dallas Keuchel to Greg Maddux, by the way. I'm just saying you don't have to go out there and
throw the other thing I ask
upper 90s.
The reason why I asked, too, is his contract's coming up. And, you know, you look at a guy like King Felix, who when they signed him, you thought, man, this guy is the ace and the horse, and we're going to ride him into the sunset for years and years. Now, his velocity was 91, 92. And to the Astros' credit, they've had his number over the last year.
Oh, some like 14 runs, 14 ERA.
The one game last year, he didn't get through a third. He got through a third of an inning and gave up like an 8 spot in the first inning. But he didn't look great last night, even until they reported that he had the groin issue. But there's a guy that's fallen off the planet from where he was just a few short years ago.
He is a shell of himself, at least you know thus far. And now he's hurt, which isn't good. He's older and he's banged up a little bit already. Game one, and he's already tweaked something.
Nothing worse than an old guy with a groin injury. That could be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, look, we'll see how they bounce back tonight, too, because it's just one game. It was just the opener. But let's see, because now the other guy you speak of, McCullers, on the hill tonight. Interesting to see what kind of stuff he has, the velocity. And, of course, can he stay healthy? But good if they could get both their guys that are under the microscope from a pitching perspective off to good starts.
Yeah, and don't forget, I get Josh and everyone's excited. Remember, the Astros won their opener against the Yankees and then went 7-17 the rest of the month of April. So one game.
Just had to be that black
cloud. Just one game. It's one game.
Right?
It's great. It's fun. It's exciting. It's opening day. It's one game.
It's a nice day. The Astros won, and here's Barry squatting to poop on you. How about that? All right. So we got plenty more show to get to. We can still talk about the Astros if you want, like Josh did. We can talk about the basketball game. We can talk about the Texans, because that now seems to be top of mind with a lot of people. But we can talk about a lot of things. We got a full list of things to get to, and we'd love to hear from you. 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
Halfway to Baumgartner. It was great. Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel back on The Usual Suspects. Jeff Blum with a line of the night last night when Correa hit the home run saying, hey, at least he's halfway to Baumgartner.
Yeah.
Because Mad Bomb just went nuts. And then, as you mentioned in the break, Rougned Odor making sure that he's making up for the two horses and a whole bunch of money.
That dude.
He's pretty good. They beat the Indians. That was a pretty good game.
My favorite thing last night was getting to tweet that George Springer is on pace to hit infinity home runs. That's always the fun thing about opening day.
Of course,
day.
You got somebody who didn't get the joke or went at you.
Totally. Yeah.
You know what I get sick of, too?
What?
Like, all the people that are worried about the opening day record and all the, like, that was only the second time in the history of the Astros that the first batter of the year hit a home run.
Yeah. You usually get those in the, they'll announce those type of things in the press box. It's like, all right.
Oh, the Yankees have lost 6 straight opening day games. I hope they lose 50. I've never been a Yankee fan. I don't care. Yeah. And after opening day, no one else cares. As you mentioned, the Astros won the opening day last year
against
and then
the
proceeded to crap the bed in April and dig a hole that they almost got out of.
Somebody texted, hey guys, was trying to catch up on the podcast. Hour 2 was an hour 1 repeat from yesterday, so I missed Trey Movie Monday. Which isn't what it's called, but I get it. Love listening to y'all. Triola Oz. So can we get that fixed for the peeps?
Triola Oz, that's the dude that grew up on my street, on the street that I grew up.
Oh, for real?
With. Yeah, that's him. Oh. I think.
Is that Wiz's brother?
No, I don't know. He's the one that texted in one time when we were talking. Remember, we were trying to come up with...
you just keep going.
What, business brother?
I'm not. No, he said Wiz. Like Wizard of Oz?
Oh, okay. But yeah, he was the one, when we were talking about our porn names, it's like the name of the street that you grew up on and all that other stuff. He was the one that texted it.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got to get that fixed for everybody. Someone else texted and said, you know, because we were talking about being at the game and I was meeting some media folks that I have never, you know, I have yet to meet. Somebody said, Lanny Fritz, was she at the game? Amazing ass. Just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know who texted that, but I'm a professional, sir. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nick?
Yes, I can confirm.
Thank you very much.
I can confirm, buddy. He is not wrong.
Oh, yeah?
And you can confirm she was at the game?
Yes, she was. She was standing right in front of me.
Yeah, because I don't know what she looks like.
How shocking. She was standing in front of you.
There was the only people that I recognized was like, I recognized Julia Morales, Matt Musil, obviously. And
Richard Justice, you recognize?
I do have a man crush on Richard Justice. I'm not going to lie.
Dick Justice.
I do. I have a man crush on him. Much like I have a man crush on Robinson Cano.
God, he's good.
Isn't he?
He's
dreamy.
Talk about a guy that could just almost single-handedly dismantled the Astros when they played last year. Did you see? I was looking at his stats last year against the Astros. He hit like 340 with 9 bombs.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And that's just against the Astros. That's not a season like for most second basemen, except for, you know, not named Altuve. But holy cow. Or like you, or Odor. We can name a couple, but... the other thing is on that podcast thing, that's like self-inflicted suicide. Trey is the intern and people are wanting to hear movie moments with Trey. And yet Trey reloaded hour one and is shooting his own self.
See, I try not to be the guy that's always giving Trey a bunch of grief. But the first time he published Monday Movie Moments with Trey, he messed that up.
He butchered the name,
titling his own segment. And now he doesn't even publish the second podcast that has this feature segment.
But he is wearing his Romo jersey today in honor of the third greatest quarterback in Cowboys history. And I said,
Danny White?
Said yes. Behind, I said Danny White. I said Danny White's fourth, maybe. But it would be Aikman, and then it'd be Staubach, and then, of course, you got Tony Romo. Tony Romo's the quarterback, if you don't know.
We had him in the studio yesterday. After our show at Nick's place, I hurried down here because we were scheduled to do some more recording for Monday Movie Moments with Trey. We had him in there. I could hang out with him for a while.
He's a good dude.
I really could.
Think we should do that. He should get tickets to an Astros game. Take him with us.
Oh, that's a 3 hour thing. I don't know if I can hang out with him for 3 hours.
Well, we wouldn't all drive in the same
Let's
car.
Chill. I don't know. Like, I can hang out with Trey for about an hour and a half tops.
Oh, I could do it.
Hey, yeah? Glenn Davis took him to was it the Dynamo game?
Did he?
Yeah, Glenn him and another intern. I think, oh no, it was Jose. It was producer Jose and intern Trey.
Nice.
And they both went. Yeah.
Glenn's a great dude.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is. Okay, so yeah, let's not get everybody all excited. We know the Astros are
Yeah, I want to get to this audio of Barry Warner insulting you. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
What? Oh, so you have the audio?
Yeah, I isolated the
audio.
Yeah,
I want to hear what this old fart said.
So to set it up for the people that are just joining the show, but you guys were in the press box with Barry Warner. Barry was very affectionate to you, Barry Laminack.
I think he has a crush on me. But, I'm not gonna lie.
And you said you had fun. But
yeah,
then Nick reports to us that on the Nick and Barry show this morning, that Barry decides to make you a topic.
Yeah, you're taking shots at me, apparently.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so this is what he had to say on Reality Check earlier this morning.
And by the way, far be it for me to talk about Barry Laminack. Far be it for me to do that. But Laminack, who could be one of the uglier people, and thank goodness he's in radio because he could never work in TV to feed his family. His pregame meal consists of two hot dogs, and then not even any salad, and then he sits down with a plate full of whipped cream. Well, can I tell you something?
What?
On any night other than opening night, because he would have retaliated, he would have been wearing that.
I think we guilted him. He's like, God, I don't want to eat it now. It's too late. You brought it to the table. You know you want to eat it. You might as well finish it, Barry.
And that's Barry Laminack.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
That is hilarious. First of all, his old ass can't tell the difference between ice cream and whipped cream. Like, who the hell would get a bowl of whipped cream,
right?
Warner? No one is going to get a bowl of whipped cream. And he did threaten to throw it on me. I'm like, why are you threatening to throw this on me? Like, what have I done to you to make you want to throw this on me?
That would have been entertaining.
That makes no sense why you would want to smush that on me at all. But what I wanted to know, I wanted to go on Barry's show because I wanted to be able to ask him what it was like when they invented baseball. Because I know he was there.
Right.
In fact, I think that's how they got the term shortstop, because his short ass was standing out in that part of the field and he wouldn't stop talking. So it became short. I'm surprised it's not called the fat stop. But yeah, I don't understand why Barry Warner is taking shots at me. I feel like he's too old for me to take shots. Like, he's off limits. Like, you don't take shots.
Not really.
At an old man. Well, he won't even remember. He's so senile that if I did, he won't even remember. So it's okay. You know?
Here's the thing that
I don't understand.
Is like, remarkable to me, too.
Know? Whipped cream. Get your bleep together, Barry. Get it together.
Like, Warner, to me, too, it's like, Nick, and you've been to, you know, all the Rockets games, but for all my years working there, the funny thing was, he would make an appearance at home games to go in the media room, and as he would say, to kibitz, and to get a little food. Then he would go and sit courtside, because there has to be at least one or two guys that played 25 to 30 years ago. And when Bill Walton was in town, he would stay basically for the all pregame. And then the minute the game was about to tip off, here you go. Yeah. See ya.
Yeah, that's so true. He usually, I mean, on the Golden State Warriors game, I think he bounced like in the second quarter. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's not, it's past his bedtime and all that. But then, you know, I guess.
He's old. Old people go to bed at 4:30.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he makes it there.
After a naked swim with Betty.
I'm surprised he's even able to stay awake at 7 o'clock for a 7 o'clock first pitch.
Oh, if there's a.
He's like, this is morning time. Like, that's.
If there's a last swim at 6:30, he can still be in bed by 7:15.
Yeah. He was all suited up too, boy.
Dude, he looked sharp yesterday.
He did. He was fancy. He had on the light blue dress shirt with the pinstripe jacket and the red pocket square.
Really?
Red socks with the dress shoes. And he goes, Laminack!
Wait, he's wearing socks?
Yeah.
And I was asking him. He mentioned on the show, this is the only sports event, only day that he would dress up for. He wouldn't do it for the Texans.
Yep.
Would not do it for the Rockets. Only opening day for the Astros.
And then he made it a point to tell me twice in the same night, Laminack, look, this is the next time you'll see me in this suit will be at a funeral. And then Nick was like, you're not going to die, Barry. I'm like, well, let's hear him out. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean.
I didn't say that. But then he was like, I didn't say my funeral. Oh, damn it. All right.
and again, Nick, I don't know how you do it on the air, but it's like every time he talks to you, every other word is your name, as if you've forgotten your own
name. I love
name.
That, though. That I love that. because he's it makes it very personal when he talks.
Yeah.
Which it makes it weird for me because you don't meet a lot of Barrys. I don't know a lot of Barrys. So when he and I are talking and he's saying Barry, it feels very weird. Because I'm talking to Barry, and Barry's talking to Barry, and Barry's saying Barry, and it just gets weird.
Yeah, he'll call me, and for Joel, let me tell you something, Joel. In all my years, Joel, these are the kind of things, Joel, that you have to be aware of in sports, Joel.
He runs some sort of Asian media.
Asian Southwest media, baby.
And he was showing me one of his like papers that he did. I was like, can you speak Vietnamese? He goes, just enough to get laid. It was great.
I was just going to say, ask him how much he can speak of any Asian language.
And it's just enough. I'm not going to lie. I completely underestimated how much fun I would have hanging out with Barry Warner.
It was pretty entertaining. I'm not going to lie.
I would do that a lot. Yeah. I really would. He's I would hang out with that dude a lot. I underestimated how much fun I'd have.
So the next naked pool party at Barry's house, Laminack is invited.
Laminack is there.
Yeah, Laminack and the dogs. Because, you know, he has like 50 dogs, and then he and his wife go swimming naked.
He'll
unless there's
a
drone.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Nope. Not doing it. I don't need to see Barry Warner naked. No.
The only thing worse is Barry in a Speedo.
Yeah.
Like Captain America style. Red, white, and blue.
Yeah. Tory Maddox tweeted, Shalom, that's Barry Warner to me every day. It's true.
It's very true. He does to you, too.
Yeah. I don't get it.
All right. We got plenty more show to get to. If you want to talk about Barry Warner, that's 1560 AM. If you want to talk about anything else, we're here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Joel, Nick, and Barry, till 4, where we continue to do what you can't find anywhere else, which is we're not going to beat a dead horse, so we haven't even talked about the quarterback situation at the Texans yet. We're talking about good stuff, funny stuff, and pertinent stuff for those of you that are Houstonians. I was going to say last segment, but it's definitely the truth. When Barry Warner gives you that much attention and busts your balls, that means that you are very much a popular figure.
He's a fan.
With Barry Warner. He likes you.
Yeah. All right. I was hoping that was the case.
Yeah.
I mean, either way. I could have taken it if he didn't like me or if he did like me. I would
That's
have,
probably true, but I think I would it's have been all right that he picks
way.
On you and Joel.
Yeah,
yep.
I do. I noticed that he was really feeling it last night because every person, because Barry has his own seat in the media press box. It says, everyone else just says
it has
ESPN,
his name, yeah.
ESPN, KHOU, KPRC. And even sitting next to Mark Berman, it just said Fox 26. His says Barry Warner, ESPN 97.5. And I'm like, okay.
So that's
all,
false advertising.
He's not even on this show or the station. But we get it. But yeah, he's got his own name on it. But then, like, you know, several people, every time someone came and sat down, he'd be like, this guy over here, this guy almost wore some whipped cream. Like, he just was hammering me the whole night. Now, so I figured it was out of, you know, love.
Yeah, for sure.
Or hate, but I figured love. Who knows?
And Barry's, you know, congratulations to Barry. If those of you don't know, Barry Warner has been in this market so long. He's actually in the Texas Hall of Fame for
years.
Radio.
Yeah.
He told me he's been doing this 61 years.
Well, that makes him, what, 80? I thought he was in his 70s.
No, he's 73.
He was 73. So what, he's been doing media when he was 12?
That's what he said. He said, I've been doing this 61 years. That's what he said.
When you're in your clubhouse with two soup cans and string trying to reach your buddy, that doesn't count as broadcasting.
He said he's been doing this since 66.
So I'll tell you this. If you read Dan Pastorini's book, there's several references to Barry Warner being the man that had the plan when they were out partying with the weed brownies and a lot of stuff. Yeah.
I think his math is off because if I'm doing it right.
It's very much off.
66, 76, 86, 96, 2006, 2016. He meant 51 years. He was telling me 61 at
probably.
Dinner, right?
Yeah, he was.
But hell, 51
regardless,
years.
Regardless, exactly.
That's longer than I've been alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's literally having lunch. He told me yesterday he's going to have lunch at Kenny and Ziggy's today with a guy that he hasn't seen since 1951.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and like he's on Bob Lanier's staff or something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like that's, I mean, the guy's been around forever. He knows everybody.
You think the conversation goes with, "Hey Dad, how's it been going?"
Well, I'm sure that guy's just as old, so
just threw it out there.
I haven't seen him since 51. When I told him I'm going to get smokes, I'll be right back.
Last thing I heard was Willie Nelson playing on the road again in the screech of some tires. He was gone. But I'll tell you what, like Yao loves him. Yao Ming.
Yao invited him to his, a private party before.
Yep.
He knows Kevin Harlan. He knows Jim Nantz. He knows.
Oh my God, Jim Nantz is his boy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He knows everybody.
Yeah.
Well, when you've been around for that long, I imagine you do cross paths and create friendships with most everyone that comes in or out of the market.
So. For every time Jim Nantz says hello, friends, Barry's one of those guys he's talking about.
Yeah,
because
right?
Literally, if Nantz is in town, Barry will like run red lights to make sure he gets there early to spend time with Jim, and then he gets an interview or two, and then he does a couple promos for him because. He literally could tell Jim Nantz right now, if Jim Nantz was in town, I need you at the station by like 3:30, Jim Nantz would show up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got some... The people that he knows and knows well, yeah, they would go through a brick wall for him.
And apparently he still air checks. Like Jim Nantz sends air checks to Barry Warner for him to evaluate. According to Warner.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
The world according to Warner is like fake news sometimes too, so you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Nestor Carmona said, "My daughter got to yell play ball last night." Now they have a kid
that's
cool.
Play ball! Yeah, that was Nestor Carmona's kid. That's pretty cool, dude. He got video of them
Your voice was deeper than yours?
Probably. Okay. She's probably like, play ball!
I can tell you this. I felt for Keuchel because with all the pomp and circumstances of opening day and everything, at least the rest of the lineup got to go take the field and get ready. And he kept sitting there, and they had the ISO camera on him in the dugout in the tunnel. And so he's behind Hinch in the tunnel, and you can tell how antsy he is to just get out there and start warming up. And they kept making announcements, and he was like tap dancing and looking at his arm and waiting. And I'm like, God, that could throw you off rhythm. By the time you finally get out there to start warming up, you're like, let's go already.
Right.
But he had a good rhythm last night. He stayed completely composed and looked really good. And I love how fitting it was. Springer starts out the bottom of the first with a bomb.
Yep.
That was a pretty good message.
I was going to ask you guys, and by the way, Kim Davis just tweeted to me and said, you guys take it easy on Barry Warner. She probably missed last segment when he was giving me the business.
Yeah.
So, yeah, trust me. He's getting it as much as he's giving it.
I'm just reffing.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like I said, nice to meet Kim, too. I hadn't had the opportunity to meet her, so that was cool. But I was going to ask you guys, who do you think hits the most home runs on this team? Because there are several different options, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Springer could end up leading this team in home runs, believe it or not. Correa.
Yep. Altuve had a lot of bombs last year.
Gattis, if he's getting an opportunity every day. I don't know if Beltran has quite. He's a little older now.
Yeah.
McCann might. I mean, I think it's going to be more than 20. He'll hit about 20.
I think it's going to be an adjustment for McCann coming. Just for me, I don't know what it is, but to me, he just didn't look comfortable at the plate last night.
Yeah, well, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's one game.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
He only struck out once, so that's not too terrible.
So who do you think?
I don't know. I think and I think the sleeper in that all that might be Bregman because he's got some pop and he's going to hit for some power.
He had some good swings last night,
but I think it comes down between Correa and Springer.
I was going to say my gut feeling says Correa.
Yeah, if I had to pick, I'd probably go Correa, but it's not going to surprise me if somebody like Springer's the top two or three on this team in home runs as your leadoff. That's not going to surprise me at all.
How about your shortstop hitting a 470 some odd foot bomb? I mean, that shows you what kind of pop he's got.
Yeah, that was a big fly.
That was
for sure.
That was my takeaways. That Correa looks dialed in. Bregman looks dialed in. And you know what? The best at-bat of the night for Bregman was the walk.
Yeah.
It was like, 10-15 pitch at-bat where he just kept fighting and hanging in there until he worked them for a walk. And I think that's where they manufactured the other two runs. But, yeah, I mean, Altuve with two strikeouts, that's a rarity.
Yeah.
But, boy, between Springer leading off with that bomb, with Correa's, the distance on Correa's bomb, and then just all the at-bats of Bregman, man, they're not disappointing offensively early with one game in the books. That was impressive.
My big takeaway from last night actually was the defense that they played. I mean, when you saw Aoki come up and make that running catch, you had Springer going over his shoulder almost and on that big fly.
Keuchel
twice. With the two bunts, which you pick one of those, it could already be a candidate for player of the year by a pitcher defensively. I mean, both of those were unbelievable.
The one running away from home plate and snatching it out of the air with your bare hand and still an on-one motion thrown to first base.
That's not easy.
Try that as just in your backyard with a tennis ball or something else and figure that. That's a baseball that's been swung at with some funky spin on it. That was just a fantastic play.
And try to be accurate with that throw and not throw it away. And not only did it happen once, they tried it again. I'm like, why would you try that? You just saw him make that play. He's won how many gold gloves in a row?
Three.
Why would you try that again? That doesn't make any sense. But to me, it was the defense that stood out because of, like I said, Aoki and Springer. You know what you're going to get from Reddick. He can play D. You know that infield. But even Gurriel at first base, I was concerned, is he going to be able to pick that ball like a first baseman? And at one point,
he looked good.
Patrick Creighton and I were laughing because there was one that, you know, kind of got skipped a couple times from Correa, and he had that glove out like he was going to pick it like a first baseman does. And at the very end, you could see he brought it back into his body.
He
like a fielder.
Yes,
right?
he did.
And it was like, okay, this is going to be a learning curve. But he didn't have any errors, and he picked some balls out of the dirt. And so that's that more than anything. And Keiko's performance, obviously. But that defense stood out to me quite a bit.
Yeah, and that was one that I just Gurriel at first. Because the one-hoppers are okay. That's what a first baseman does. But the two hoppers that you're not expecting, and you're right, he did look it into his body like an infielder. But boy, he's got a sweet glove over there. He looks like he belongs there right away and every day. So that's a good sign, too. So only one game in the books, but the Astros look good. Back at it tonight. McCullers on the hill. So we'll see how it goes. But 1 hour in the books here with two to go. Plenty more show. So we've got other things to get to. We'll get to the fact that there was a national championship game in college basketball. We'll get to the fact that the Rockets are off until tomorrow night when they host the Denver Nuggets, one of two remaining home games on the schedule for your probable three seed in the West, and all kinds of other things. So if you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Here come the Astros, number
one every time. My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.